Today's Shir Masechet Ksubos Daf Tezvav, we will begin on Daf Yudalar Mabeis at the bottom of the Amid. Amar Rabbi Yossi says, the Mishnah Maisa B'Tinoikas Shiyodu L'Malas Mayim Min Ayin. There was a girl who went to draw water from the spring, which was right outside the city, Venensa. And as she went to do so, she was violated. And we don't know who is the person who did this terrible act. Was it a person who is an individual who is a fine yichus? And if he's a fine yichus, it doesn't affect the status of the girl and she can marry a kohen. And if not, if the person who did it is an individual who is a man who a woman, if she had relations with that man, would become disqualified for marrying a kohen. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan says the way to make the determination here is Imroiv and Sheir. Most of the people who live in that city, Masin Lakuna, of the type of individuals who may marry who, if somebody had relations with them, the woman would still be mutter to marry a kohen. This woman, Harezit Nas Lakuna, the woman may marry, this man may marry a kohen. Rabbi Kiva Eger discusses the following Shaila. He speaks about a city that have two groups of people. People who we just described, like Sherim, who do not disqualify a woman from being able to marry a kohen, and Psulim, people, men, who disqualify a woman from being able to marry a kohen. Of course, the best example would be a non-Jew. So the Mishnah paskens that if there are 51 Sherim and 50 Psulim in the town, so the Mishnah just said, Imroiva and Sheir, Masin Lakuna, if most of the people in the city are people who could marry a kohen, then who don't disqualify a person from marrying a kohen, we could assume that that was the case. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, what will be if she now wants to marry a kohen? The kohen knows that he is not the individual who did this terrible act with this girl. And in this town, there are 101 men, but he's out of the count. So now we have no longer a situation of Roiv Ksherim, because he knows that he's not that person. So it's only going to be 50-50. And if it's 50-50, it's not a situation of Roiv, and she would not be allowed to marry a kohen. However, the Rishash disagrees. He says, when we speak about this halacha of Holchin Acher Roiv, it doesn't mean that based on statistics, what are the chances that she had beer with this man, with a man that doesn't disqualify her? What are the chances that she had relations with a man that does disqualify? He says, what happened, Holchin Acher Roiv, that we're learning in our Mishnah, is a halacha. The halacha is that we always follow the majority. For example, we're going to be learning in our coming shir, where if a piece of meat in our shir, where a piece of meat is found and on the street, do we assume that it's kosher or not? So we say the halacha is that Holchin Acher Roiv, if most meat sold in this city is kosher, even then we assume that this piece of meat is kosher. Now, what would be if you found a specific cut of meat, Rishash says, in the street? That specific cut of meat mostly comes from non-kosher stores. Do we say that we look at every different cut of meat and make a decision of every cut of meat? Or does Holchin Acher Roiv say that once most of the stores are kosher, any piece of meat that's found in the street is assumed to be kosher? Says the Rishash, that the halach is, that Holchin Acher Roiv says, that we could assume that the piece of meat is kosher, and we don't have to look at every different type of cut and make an evaluation, what is the status of that cut. And here too, he says we could therefore be more lenient. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri just said that we follow the majority, and if the majority people are people who do not disqualify a woman from being able to marry a kohen, then the halacha is she can marry a kohen. Says the Mar Kaman, whose opinion does he follow in the machlokes that we've been learning so often in our perek the machlokes of Gamliel Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Gamliel, if he's going to follow the opinion of Gamliel, according to Gamliel, a feel of a roif sulim nami machsher. According to Gamliel, even if it would be a situation where most of the people in the town are not are people that would disqualify, if she says that I know I was molested by a man who's from the Ksherim, that's enough for us to trust her. The Rabbi Shua, and on the other hand, the opinion of Rabbi Shua has always been a feel of a roif Ksherim nami posel. Even if most of the people in the city are kosher, Rabbi Shua takes a strict opinion. Amalei, so answers Rav Nachman to Rava, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav. The Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Shua. Normally, according to Rabbi Shua, roiv alone is inadequate to be lenient. Here, however, says the Gemara, we're speaking about Bekroinus Tzipiri, in the city of Tzipiri. And since this story happened, Hayamaisa, the story happened in this city called Kroinus, and the way to understand the Mishnah is to Rav Ami. As Rav Ami explained, Dom Rav Ami, there was a group traveling here that most of the people in that group were people who were also kosher, that don't disqualify a woman from being able to marry a kohen. And the way to understand the Gemara now is that even though Rabbi Shua is machmer, here we have a new situation. We have trei roiv. We have two reasons, two roivs pointing in the direction that we don't have an issue. One roiv is based on the fact that one is because most of the city are ksherim, most of the people in the city are kosher, and not only are most of the people in the city kosher, but most of the people in the group that were traveling by were also kosher. But we have here an interesting machlokes rishonim. When can we rely on true roiv? The Rashi on two roivs. The Rashi says the only time we can rely on two roivs is when we don't know who was the man that had relations with her. Was it a man from the city? Or was it a man from the group that was traveling through the city? But if we know that the man was either from the city or from the group, the fact that there's another roiv has nothing to do with our discussion. And that would not be a case, says the Rashba, of two roivs. The Meiri disagrees. He says that when the Gemara here says that we can rely on two roivs, the Gemara's comment that we can rely on two roivs is under all circumstances, even in a case where it's much less of a question. And the Gemara says that what we're learning now is that we can rely on true roivs, on two roivs, follows the opinion of Yanai. Da Rav Yanai, Nivelas Bekronis Tzipori Ksher Lakuna. She had this relation then she's kosher. Says the Gemara, Bekronis Alkadatach, the Kronis means the wagon. Does it mean that she had the relations on the wagon? Rather, explains Rav Yanai, Nivela B'Shas Kronis. She had these relations during the time where there are people traveling in these wagons. And because of that, Ksher Lakuna. Ava Pirish Echad Mitzipari Bol. If there's only one roiv, just somebody from the city had relations and we don't know who that person is, then Havlat Shtuki, we cannot know what is the status of the child. Kiha, says the Gemara, like we found, Kiyosra Avdimi Amazira Amr Bchanina, Vamalei Amazira Amr Bchanina, Holchen Acha Roiv Ha'ir, where we follow the roiv of the city, but we don't look at the group that's traveling through the city. Ask the Gemara, Klapalaya, if anything, says the Gemara, the halacha ought to be just the opposite. Hani Naidi, as we're going to be discussing extensively in our shir, when we follow roiv, we only follow roiv when it's a parish, when it left a place. But when it's in a specific place, we don't follow roiv. So the people who are traveling are not in a specific spot. So since it's not in a specific spot, there it's easy to follow roiv. But when we speak about the people in the city, as we're going to be discussing quite extensively in Mitzvah Shem and our Shir. So it depends. If the woman went to the man, so then it's a much more difficult halacha. It's a much more difficult shaila, because in those circumstances, it's a kavua. The man is kavua in his place, and the halacha is called kavua kamachsa machsa dami. So the question is, why are we being lenient regarding the city and machmer regarding the people who are traveling? If anything, asked the Gemara, it should just be the opposite. Klapilaya, hani neidi, the people who are traveling are moving. And that's where it's easier to say roiv. V'hani kvi v'kaimi. The people who are in the city are in one spat. And since the people are in the spat, are in one spat, even though the halacha is that we always follow the roiv, but there's another halacha of kol kavua k'machsa machsadami, and we don't follow roiv, says the Gemara. Ella, what Rav Chanina meant to say, explains the Gemara, is holchan achar roiv eir. We follow the roiv of the city, provided for who the ikka roiv si ba'da. If coupled with that most of the city are people who are kosher, we also have most of the people who are traveling through were also kosher. However, vein holchan achar roiv eir greitza, but says the Gemara, we don't follow just the roiv of the city, nor do we follow after roiv of the people who are traveling through the city. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why can't we rely on roiv of the people who are traveling through and say that if most of the people who are traveling through a kasha, we could be lenient? Answers the Gemara, gzeir roiv sir atarov eir. Chazal made a gzeira that when we speak about the city, as we just explained, there we need to be concerned. Because when we speak about the city, we have a case of kavua. So even if most of the people in the city are kavua, we say kol kavua kamechsa mechsa dami. So because when we speak about the people in the city, it is not so simple to follow roiv. Therefore, even when we speak about the people who are traveling through, Chazal made a gzera, we don't also say roiv. But ask the Gemara, but when we speak about the city, why are we being necessarily strict? Roivi and Nami, indeed, in the case, says the Gemara, if they came towards her, so why can't we rely on Roiv? Called the Parish, Meruba Parish, which is to say that, called the Parish, Meruba Parish, and if most of the people in the city are kosher, that should not disqualify the woman. Answers the Gemara, we're talking about a situation where she went to them. So since she went towards them, havelei kavua. So that's not a case of called the parish meruba parish. The definition of called the parish meruba parish is when he left his place towards her. But here he didn't go towards her; she went towards him, and he's a kavua. Shamar Rav Zeir, because Rav Zeir taught us that the halach is called kavua kamechza mechzadami. When we have people standing in the place, that's kavua. And therefore, because of that, we're machmer. And as I saw, the Rashba points out that really, we're making a gzeira. We made a gzeira in the city when he went to her, because when she went to him. And then we made a gzeira for the people who are traveling because of the people in the city. Wouldn't this all be a gzeira l'gzeira? So the Rashba explains that sometimes, even though normally throughout Shas, Chazal avoid making a gzera l'gzera, sometimes they do make a gzera l'gzera. When? Explains the Rashba that in a situation where if we're not going to start making gzeras, the entire situation will atrophy, there Chazal saw the need to make a gzera l'gzera. And explains the Rashba, this is such a situation. But ask the Gemara, is that true that the halacha requires two roif? Is it true that we need two roif? Vatanya, the Brisa teaches us. Teisha chanuyos, if there are 9 stores in a city, kula makras basa shchuta, all sell kosher meat. V'achas mecheres basa nevela, and one sells non-kosher meat. V'lokach machsmehen, somebody went to one of the stores, v'enideya mezmen lokach, but he can't recall which store he went to. Did he go to the kosher store? Did he go to the non-kosher store? The halacha is sveika asur because it's a kavua, and the halacha is kol kavua kmechza mechza dami. However, benimtza, if a piece of meat is found in the street, there we follow roiv because we say kol the parish meat ruba parish. So the Rabbi Yehuda makes a very important point. The Gemara here distinguished because when she went to him versus when he went to her. So he says, when she went to him, it's a situation of kol kavua, and kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. But says the Rabbi Yehuda, the question is not specifically on her. The question is on the child that she's going to have. What is the status of the child? The child didn't have a situation of kavua. So the simple way of explaining the answer to the question of Noida Behuda is the way the Chef Shematza says, that the child and the mother travel together. And since the child and the mother travel together, since the mother is in a situation of kavua, it extends to the child as well. And therefore, says the Chef Shematza, if indeed the mother wasn't in question, the entire issue is the child, the mother's not here, we're not speaking about the mother's status, we're only speaking about the child's status, then the halacha is that indeed we would be lenient on the child. The only time we have to be machmir on the child, says the Shmaitza, is when the mother and child are both here. So the Gemara taught us now that when you went to a store, and there's 9 stores that are kosher, and 1 is not, but you went to the store, the halacha is that we say kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. The same thing goes the other way. What happens if there are 9 non-kosher stores and 1 kosher store? We again say kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. And even though if most of the stores are not kosher, it's not going to be considered in probability non-kosher. It's going to be considered mechza mechza. And we won't be able to consider this piece of meat as definitively treif, as definitively not kosher. We're going to have to consider it 50-50. The Gemara in Masechet Chulin discusses a case where it wasn't a Jew who went to the store. It was a non-Jew who went to the store. And we don't know to which store did the non-Jew go. Did he go to the kosher store or did he go to the non-kosher store? So the Gemara Masechet Chulin says that that will not be considered a case of kavua. Because when a Jew goes to a store, explains the Gemara, he's obligated to go to a kosher store. And if he doesn't remember to which store he went, the question about the status of the meat begins immediately when he went to the store. And as we're learning, since the store is kavua, we have to apply the rule of kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. But if it were a situation where the goy went to the store, so a non-Jew is allowed to go to a non-kosher store, when does the question begin? The question begins when this piece of meat is presented to us, and we need to determine, is this piece of meat kosher or non-kosher? So we're dealing on the piece of meat that left the store, and there would we be lenient and say that that's a case of called the parish, called the parish, meruba parish. The Rashba discusses another situation. Somebody bought meat, went to the store, and bought meat from one of the stores. Again, not remembering if he bought from the kosher store or the non-kosher store, that we say, kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. But then he dropped the piece of meat. And now he dropped the piece of meat, and we have to decide, is the piece of meat considered kosher or not? So the Rashba wants to say, when did this question begin? The question didn't begin when the person went to the store. The question begins when I find a piece of meat. And now I'm finding the piece of meat, and I should say, call the parish, meruba parish. The Yad Yehuda disagrees. The Yad Yehuda says that somebody personally only has the question when he finds the piece of, when he now is presented with a piece of meat. But certainly the question began from when the meat was bought. And since it was brought, since then, the question was began then. Even though the actual question that I'm dealing with only is now, that doesn't change the reality, says the Yad Yehuda, that would be case of Kol Kavua Kvechsa Mechzadami. The Yad Yehuda says, but what does the Rashba mean? The Rashba says that the question, the case that the Rashba is lenient is where we're not sure if the person who bought the meat was a Jew or a non-Jew. For as we just mentioned a moment ago, based on the Gemara Masechta Chulin, there's a difference in halacha if a Jew bought the meat or a non-Jew bought the meat. So says the Yad Yehuda, if we don't know if it was a Jew or a non-Jew bought the meat, and now we have the piece of meat in front of us with the shayla, that's where the Rashba would be lenient. The Raah discusses what would be the halacha if all the stores sell kosher meat. There's only kosher butcher shops in the city. And then, so any meat that's bought in that city should be perfectly fine, because the only store you could buy meat from is a kosher store. Then it was discovered that one of the stores was selling non-kosher meat. And you don't know from which we know, and we don't know he bought from which store did he buy. Did he buy from the store that was determined that it was also selling non-kosher meat, or did he buy from one of the other stores? The Ross says that's still considered a situation of kavua. The Ran disagrees. Why does the Ran disagree? Because he says, even though we're paskening kol kavua kamechsa machzadami, says the Ran, we have to look when the shaila begins. If the shaila began when somebody went to the store, so there we say kol kavua kamechsa machzadami. But if the shaila only began later, in other words, in the case that we just described, when the person went to the store, there was no question, because he must have gone to a kosher store, because all the stores are kosher. The question only began later when it was discovered that one of the stores is selling non-kosher meat, and we're not quite certain which is that store. Since that question only began later, then we could be more lenient, because at that point when the question came up, it was a question after it was parish, after it left the store, and under those circumstances, we say, call the parish, merova parish. The Shach says, what would be the halacha if there's one store that sells non-kosher meat, but we don't know which is that store? And this person knows which store he bought, but he doesn't know which is the store that sells treifa meat. So the Shach says that that's still considered a case of kavua. But actually, most paiskim, the Dagal Mavava, the Prima Gadim, and the Chachmas Adam, actually say it's a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say that it can only can be considered a case of kavua when we know the status of every store. Just you don't know which store you went to. But if we don't know the status of every store, they say, some rishonim hold that that's not considered a kavua. Other rishonim say the fact that there are 9 stores that sell kosher and 1 store sells non-kosher, even though we don't know which is which, that doesn't change the reality that this is considered a situation of kavua. Then there's another interesting question. What happens, as we're learning in our Gemara, we have 9 stores selling kosher meat and 1 store selling non-kosher meat. But that one non-kosher store that's selling non-kosher meat is very large and has more meat in that one store than all the 9 kosher stores put together. What is the halacha? And now a piece of meat was found that was saying the benimtza, that when we find a piece of meat on the street, we go after the roiv. So do we say the roiv of the stores in this city are kosher, and therefore we could be lenient? Or do we say we look at the majority of meat in this city, and the majority of meat in this city is non-kosher, and therefore we have to be machmer? The Chaya Adam, Chochmas Adam, a machmer, he says we look at the majority of the meat. The Beis Ephraim is lenient. He says we don't look at the majority of the meat, we look at the majority of the store. And so too is the opinion of the Chavistas. And he says, he brings a raya to his opinion from a Gemara in Masechta Baba Metzia. The Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia discusses if somebody finds an Aveda, a lost object, that is populated in a city that's mostly Yisraelim. So says the Gemara, he has to assume that the Yisrael lost the object. Says the Chavistas, if the volume of the meat, as the Chai Adam says, is the determining factor, so that in the case of found money, the roiv should not be determined by who are the most of the people living in the city. Roiv should be determined who has the most money in the city. And says the Chavistas, particularly in those days, the Nachrim were wealthier than the Yisraelim, and they have more money than the Yisraelim. Why does the Gemara say, says the Chavistas, say that we look at who are the majority of the population of the city? We should look who has the most money. So it's a proof to his opinion, the opinion of Beis Ephraim, we look at the people, we don't look at the money. The Chai Adam, in responding to that point, says that the amount of money one owns is not significant in the case of an Aveda. People don't carry all their money with them. A poor person has money in his pocket and a wealthy person has money in his pocket. And the money that you lost is from what's in your pocket, not from all the money that you own. The Tshuva Sagoinim mentions a situation where in Vilna, where 7 cows were slaughtered, and after they were slaughtered, a trefa was discovered in one of the stomachs of those animals. However, they weren't able to determine which was the animal in which they found this trefa in the stomach. So the question that comes up, that when we have all the cows in the slaughterhouse, we have to treat each cow as a Suffolk trefa. And since they're all still in the slaughterhouse, this is considered a case of kavua. However, says the Tshuva Sagoinim, if the trefa stomach was only discovered after the cows were sold, then we would be allowed to eat it. Because at that point, the meat is in a state of parush, and there we say that we go after roiv. Says the Tshuva Sagoinim that in the question of Vilna, there was a new wrinkle. And that was that the defect was discovered after half a cow was sold. So now we have a question. Do we look at the half that was already sold as mutter, even though the half that's still in the slaughterhouse is usser? The Shev Shemaitza goes back to a subject that we mentioned a few moments ago. We spoke about Cheskes Aim Mahani Labita. We said the status of the child is connected to the status of the mother. And therefore we learned if the mother's ruled fit, the child is fit. And so too, vice versa. Says the Shev Shematza, once the portion of the cow that was sold is considered kosher, because called the parish Meruba parish, says the Shev Shematza, big chiddush, that not only is the half a cow that was sold kosher, but even the half a cow that's still in the slaughterhouse will also be kosher. But here, so back to our Gemara. So we see that we follow roif. Now, if our Gemara we said that we were machmer, that even though when the man went to the woman, where we were machmer, if most of the city are people who would disqualify a woman from being able to marry a kohen, we would not allow this woman to marry a kohen. And therefore, we were even machmer. We were machmer in that case because of the case when the woman went to the man. So why shouldn't we say the same, as the Gemara, about a piece of meat? That even in a case when the piece of meat was found, and when it's found on the street, we've been applying the concept of called the parish, Meruba parish, but why don't we say that we should make a gzeira, because since when she went to him, we're going to apply the concept of kol kavul kamechsa mechsadami, so we should apply it even when he went to her. The chitema, says the Gemara, if we'll say that the case of the stores is referring to a situation b'she'ein dalsas medina nulus, when the doors of the country of the city are not closed. The castle of Ruben Ma'alma, and most of the, and therefore most of the meat that was found were from everywhere. Hamram Zera, even in a case where they're closed, we are lenient on the piece of meat that's found in the street. But why? Answers the Gemara, Ma'ala Asa B'Yuchsin. Truthfully, if the man went to the woman, we ought to apply, if the man went to the woman, we should say, call the parish Meruba parish. But by Yichus, we are Machmer. There's a very interesting discussion that the Stipler has. Said this question came up, unfortunately, very often after World War II, where there were children that were found in non-Jewish, by non-Jewish families. There were children that were found by non-Jewish orphanages. And the question is, how can we know, and of course nobody knew exactly the status of the parents of these children. They were young children, they didn't remember the parents. What can we rely that most people who handed over their children to non-Jewish families or to these non-Jewish orphanages were Jewish or not? The Stipler wants to rely on Rav. But Rav is not enough for Yichus, the Gemara just said. The Gemara just said, Mal also b'yuchsin, that when it comes to Yichus, we have to look on, we have to be much more careful. So how could we be, so why would be the halacha? So the Stipler takes approach, and so too I saw is the opinion of Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal, that we could not rely on Rav alone, because of the Gemara that we just learned, of Mal also b'yuchsin. The only way we could be lenient here is if we combine with the Rav a Masiach Lefitumai. If the non-Jew who is delivering, who delivered this child, who gave up this child, says that this child was given to him or her or the orphanage by Jewish parents, so then we have a little right, then we have a room to be lenient. Gufa. So says the Gemara, going back to halacha that we've discussed so extensively in our shiur today, Amrav Zeir, Kol Kavu Kamechza Mechza Dami, when the halacha of Kol Kavu is viewed as 50-50, and that halacha is Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra, whether resulting from this will be a Kula or a Chumra. Ask the Gemara, Manolei Rav Zeir Ha. Ask the Gemara, from where does Rav Zeir take this halacha? Says the Gemara, Ilema, if we'll say, from the case that we just mentioned, Teisha Chanuyus, you have 9 stores in a city, Kula Marchus Basa Shchuta, they all sell kosher meat, Vachus Basa Nevel, and one sells non-kosher meat. V'lokach Ma'achs Mehen, and somebody bought meat from one of those stores, V'ni Yidei Meizem Elokach, he doesn't know from which store he bought, Sveika Asa. But Nimtza, but if it was found, Halach Acharoiv, because we say, call the parish Merava parish. But ask the Gemara, this that we're saying, that we're being machmer in that, that's a case where we learn Lechumra, where even though 9 stores out of the 10 are kosher, if you went to the store, we're saying we have to consider it as if you bought non-kosher meat. It says the Gemara, the case must be from the following Braisa. We know the Torah speaks about Shmoina Shrotzim. There are 8 Shrotzim that, when they are dead, give off Tumah. Hachulad, Achbar, Tzav, Anoka, Koyach, Hato, Choymet, and Shinchomis. Those are the Shmoina Shrotzim that, when they're dead, give off Tumah. A tzvardeya, a frog, doesn't give off tumah. And the Braisa speaks about a situation, tishish tzvardeim, there are 9 dead frogs, v'sheretz echad b'neim, and there's also a sheretz amongst them. V'naga b'chamahem, and somebody touched one of them, v'eni yidei meizem v'naga, and the person that touched one of these 10 shrotzim isn't sure what he touched. Did he touch the tzav, which a tzav is a sheretz that gives off tumah, or did he touch the tzvadeya, which is not give off tumah? So the halacha is sveika tameh. We have to be machmer. Why? Because it's a kavua. But again, says the Gemara, that's a case of lechumra. We're trying to show where we follow kol kavua kavua, even where we follow kavua even lekula. Ella, says the Gemara, the case is just the opposite. Where we had Tisha Tzvadeim, nine Tisha Shvatzim, nine Shvatzim that give off Tumah, V'tzadeya Echa B'neim, and there's one frog that doesn't give off Tumah. V'naga B'echa Mehem, and this person touched one of them. V'eini Dei V'ezim V'naga, and he doesn't know which one he touched. So we know that throughout Halacha, the Halacha differentiates when there's a Safek Tumah between a Rosh Hashayachid, when that takes place in a Rosh Hashayachid, versus when it takes place in a Rosh Hasharabim. And the basis for that distinction is Saita. The halacha is that if a woman was, after she was warned by her husband not to remain alone with a man, was alone with a man in a private place in Rosh Hashayachid, she becomes a Saita. And as we discussed many times, a Saita may not continue living with her husband. If it happened in Rosh Hasharabim, so that's not considered a situation that she was secluded with a man. Since it's not considered a situation where she was secluded with a man, so then the halacha is that she's tar. So here we have this case where a person touched something, but he's not quite sure what he touched. Did he touch the tzvadeya and he's tar? Did he touch the tzav and he's tamei? If it takes place in a Rosh Hasharabim, the halacha is we consider that person tahar, because it's soft b'shus yachat tahar. So we see that we're relying on kol kavua to teach us a kula. B'shus yachat tzveket tamei, b'shus rabim tzveket tahar. Ask the Gemara, m'deraisim enolon, what is the basis that we've been learning throughout our shir, that kol kavua kamechza amechza dami? Ask the Gemara, where does that halacha come from, that kol kavua amechza amechza dami? So the Gemara quotes a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, where the Gemara speaks about where somebody intended to kill one person and he killed someone else. According to Rav Shimon, he's not considered a Ritzayach. And according to Rabbanan, he is considered a Ritzayach. So the Gemara there wants to know, according to Rav Shimon, why in a case of Neskavel Harik Zeh, V'harik Zeh, is he not considered a Ritzayach? Says the Ma'amar Kod, the Pasuk says, V'chi ish son al Reyu, V'arav loy v'kam alof, V'kon nefesh, V'meis v'nachas al aras, V'nachas al aras, Achas ha'el. The Torah says the words, V'arav loy. V'arav loy means he premeditated. From here we learn, says Rav Shimon, Achi iskaven, that the only time you're considered a murderer is if V'arav loy, when it was premeditated. V'rabbanan, the Rabbanan who disagree with Rav Shimon, that says that even the Skaven Lahar Gazer, Vahar Gazer, is considered a Ritzayach. What did I do with this Pasuk of Arvloi? Says the Gemara Amri de Beir Yanai, they use this to teach us Prat Lazarek Evan Lagoy. When somebody threw a stone in on top of a group of people that have Yehudim and Nachrim, and he tended to kill somebody, since he did not intend deliberately to kill a Yehudi, because it was a group of people, he didn't know who's going to get hit, he's not considered a Ritzayach. So Gemara drills down. Hey Chidami, exactly what is the story of that group? Ilayim dekatish kananim v'echi Yisrael b'neim, nine kananim and one Yisrael. But typically, why don't we say that the reason he's not considered a Ritzayach is because the Rubit kananim inu. Most of that group are kananim. Inami, or even if it wasn't most of the group kananim, it was the 50-50. Still, there's a rule throughout halacha that sofik nefashas lahakel. Says the Gemara Lo Tzricha, the case is deketish Yisraelim v'kanani echa b'neim. There are nine Yisraelim and one kananim. Davalei kanani kavua, so if we follow Roiv, it should be considered that he intended to kill a Yehudi. But because we have the halacha of kol kavu kamechza mechza dami, we look at it at 50-50. And since it's 50-50, safek nefashas lahakel, and even the Rabbanim would agree that he's not considered a ritzayach. So here we see an example where we apply the concept of kol kavu kamechza mechza to achieve a kula. The Gemara goes back to what we discussed at the beginning of our shir, where there was a tinaikis shenensa, and the question is, what will be the halacha about this girl being allowed to marry Kayin, where the Mishnah said, we follow, if most of the people in the city are Ksherim, she may marry Kayin, and if not, she may not. And then we learned at the beginning of our shiur today, that Yehuda quoted Rav, that we need to have, in order to be lenient, we have to have two roifs. Says the Mar Itma, Rav Chiya bar Rashi Amar Rav, Halacha k'Rav Yosi, that we only need to have one roif. Rav Chanan bar Rava Amar Harosh Shaisa. This that Rav Yosi said, that one roif is adequate, wasn't a permanent halacha. Rav Yosi at that point said one roif is enough. But under normal circumstances, says Rav Chanan bar Rava Amar Rav, Rav Yosi will agree that two roifs are required. Ask the Gemara, Maser Rav Yirmiya, V'liyachsel Abayin Tre Roif, can we say that we don't need two Roif for Yechus? But Tanan, Matzaba Tinek Mushlach, if there's a city which has Jewish and non-Jewish inhabitants, and there's a child found in the street, in Roif Av Tichavim, if most of the people in that city are Jewish, then we treat this child as a Roif Kachavim. In Rav Yisrael, and most of the people who live in the city are Yisrael. We treat the child as a Yisrael. Mechsav, the city is half and half, Yisrael. And that says Rav, Rav, lo shana alach yosai. This halacha that we're discussing here is only regarding, do we have to support it? Avala yuchsin, to considered yichas loy. We can't treat him as a Yisrael. And therefore, even if there's Rav Yisrael, we need two Rav. The Shmuel Eimer, Shmuel says, this that we made this distinction is only l'fakech las agal. Do we have the obligation to be mechal Shabbos to save the child? But we see that when it comes for Yichus, you need two Rav. Says the Gemara, Ishtamitze, they forgot what Rav Yirmiya told them. Hodam Avidim Rav, b'kronish l'tzpar ha'y maisa. The child that was violated happened where in the city of Tzipari, and where there were two roives, the roive of the people in the city, as we discussed, and the roive of the people who were traveling through. And that's why the halacha is you need two roives. And you can't rely on one roive. Ask the Gemara, Rav Chanan bar Rava d'Amar, Sharaz Haisa, that Rav Yosi requires also two roives. Why? What pshat? Kashaha. Says the Gemara, "Man da masliha le masnaha." One that says that it was a Rosh Shah and says that under normal circumstances one roiv is enough, says will not agree with the case where one roiv was enough. He's going to say that you always need two roiv. Gufa matzbatin and mishloch. If you find a child in the city, roiv ayv de kachavim. If most of the people in that city are ayv de kachavim, we say the child is ayv de kachavim. Roiv Yisrael. If most of the people in the city are Yisrael, Mechsa Yisrael. Vomer Rav, and Rav said, where is this halachically relevant? L'chyoysoy. Do we have to support that child? Avala Yuchsin, as far as Yuchsin, we can't consider the child a Jew, even if Rav Yisraelim, because we need two Rav. Shmuel Amar, what we needed to do for is, L'fakech L'vatzagal, that if this child would fall Rachman Slan under a building on Shabbos, the question is, can we be Mechal Shabbos? Ask the Gemara, does that mean that only if most of the city is Jewish, can we let the child, will we save the child with Chil Shabbos? Ask the Gemara, Miyam Shmuel Hochi, is that what Shmuel actually said? V'homer Rav Yosef, Omer Rav Yehuda, Mishmuel, Ein Hochem V'kuch Nefesh Acharoiv. Whenever there's a question of V'kuch Nefesh, we don't rely on Roiv. Even if it's just a suffix, we're Makel. So here too, even though we're not certain if the child is Jewish or not Jewish, we ought to be Machmer. Says the Gemara al Itma Shmuel Areish Itma. We said in Roiv Avdik Chavim, if most of the people in that city are Avdik Chavim, and the child is found, we treat the child like Avdik Chavim. Says Shmuel, that's Bel Fakech Alav Asagal, when it's a question of Chil Shabbos and a Cain. Even if most of the city is non-Jewish, we treat the child as Jewish, and we're going to be Mechal Shabbos. So if that's the case, ask the Gemara. When we said that if Rav Ev T'Kachavim, most of the people live in the city, Ev T'Kachavim, we treat the child as an Ev T'Kachavim, ask the Gemara, where is it halachically relevant? L'may Hilchsa. Answers the Gemara, Amar Papa, L'chila Nevelis. That if most of the people are non-Jewish, we could treat the child as non-Jewish, and we could give him non-kosher meat to eat. And Rashi says that Rashi Masechet Yuma says on this halacha, that's only until he becomes an adult. But when he becomes a gadol, since there's a question that he may be Jewish, so what he's supposed to do is he's supposed to be megayer. And then, if he's truly Jewish, fantastic. If he's not truly Jewish, then now he's Jewish because he had gear. But ask the some Sofer. Numara is saying that everybody would agree that even if most of the people in the city are non-Jewish, and therefore we have to treat the child as a non-Jew, and as we just said, he's allowed to eat non-kosher meat, certainly at least until he becomes a gadol and is Megai himself, but we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Ask the Chassam Sofer, what's the reason that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos if somebody is in a bad place? So the Gemara says, Chalal, Gemara Masechet Yuma, Chalal alav Shabbos achas, one Shabbos for this person, kedei sheyishmer Shabbos harbe. But ask the Chassam Sofer, if we're treating this child as a non-Jew, so there's no concept with this child of kedei sheyishmer Shabbos harbe, because he's not going to be Shabbos harbe. So why are we allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? So if we follow the opinion that we just stated, that we're going to tell this child when he becomes a gadol to be Megayer, so then it is a case of Chalal of Shabbos Achas, Kedei Shiyifshah Shabbos Harbe, because he ultimately will be Megayer. But the Beis Meir says a different word. The Beis Meir says that the reason we're Mechal Shabbos is not because of the reason Chalal of Shabbos Achas, Kedei Shiyifshah Shabbos Harbe, and therefore in a case where that will not be relevant, we should not be Mechal Shabbos. Rather, explains the Beis Meir, the reason that we're Mechal Shabbos under all circumstances, because the Pasuk says, V'chai behem, V'chai behem v'lo shiyomus behem. The Torah showed us the value of life, even if in a question where he may not survive, even if it's a question, is this person truly Jewish? And therefore, even if it's not a case of Chalel of Shabbos Achas, Kedei Shiyishmo Shabbos Harbe, the halacha still tells us to be Mechal Shabbos under such circumstances. Says the Gemara, we said in Rav Yisrael, but if most of the people who live in the city are Yisrael, then we treat this child like Yisrael. Ask the Gemara Lamai Hilchasa regarding what halacha is this applicable. Amra Papa Lach Slei Leveda, that if he lost something, the halacha by a Jew is that we have to do Hashavas Aveda. By a non-Jew, there's no Hashavas Aveda. By him, we're going to give Hashavas Aveda. We said another halacha in this brisa, that if it's a situation of mechza, where it's half a half, we treat him as a Jew. L'may hilchasa. Says the Gemara, Amrei Shlokish l'nezokin. This is regarding hilchas nezokin. Because we know what halacha is, that if the shor, if the acts of Yisrael, the damage to the acts of a non, of a kechavim, the Yisrael midin tayris potter. If the shor of an avik kechavim, the damage to the shor of Yisrael, he always has to pay Nezek Sholim. If the Shor of Yisrael did damage to the Shor of Yisrael, so if it's a Tam, you pay Chatzi Nezek, and if it's a Muad, you pay Nezek Sholim. Says the Gemara, we say when it's Mechza, we're treating this individual as Yisrael, and the Gemara says Linyan Nezokin. Ask the Gemara Hechidim exactly what is the case. In Neima, the Nachche Tur, the Donat Tur, the day, where our shor, the shor of Yisrael, did damage to his shor, Lemelei, and he wants to collect damages, why can't we say, as we say often in halacha, Hamaitzi mechaveroi olav araya, and eisi raya the Yisraelat, bring definitive proof that you are a Jew, v'shkol, and you'll be entitled. And if you can't bring that proof, you're not entitled. Says the Marloi Tzricha, the nakhe tur de day la tur de don, his shor did damage to our shor. So he's certainly going to have to pay half, because if he's Yisrael, he has to pay Chatzi Nezek. Vidach Palga, and now we want to collect from him Nezek Shalim, because we say to him, you are not Jewish. And when a non-Jewish shor does damage, he has to pay nezek shalim. For that, amalahu, he could say to us, Esirai de lav Yisrael ana, bring definitive proof that I am not a Yisrael, and I'll give you the other half. But since I was found in a city that's Roiv Yisrael, I'm going to be treated as a Yisrael, and I only have to pay nezek chatzi nezek and not nezek shalim. Hanulak psula nasas. Hanulak psula nasas. Hanulak psula nasas.